Now we're holding on page 106 in Tainis Oischotes. Now we learned yesterday about a drasha involving a pasuk in Zechariah where that says "Va'achid as shloishas aroyim v'yarach echad." Hashem says that I removed or I cut off or the three shepherds in 1 month. Now Rashi on the pasuk says there that in context it's talking about this is part of a long mashal about Jewish history up to that point, up to Zechariah's point, and then of Nevuah, what's going to happen beyond, and that refers to the time when Yehu kills the king of Israel and the king of Yehuda, and so a bunch of people are all being destroyed at one time. But the Gemara, yes, we learned yesterday, the Gemara Darshan, that refers to Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. So what do you mean? In 1 month, they passed away, Miriam and Nissen, Aaron and Av, and Moshe the following Adar. It means because since the Be'ersha Miriam came back in Moshe and Aaron's chus, and then exclusively in Moshe's chus, and Anania covered the same thing, came back exclusively in Moshe's chus, and all three of these things disappeared when Moshe passed away. Therefore, that justifies calling it B'Yerach Echad, that so to speak, in 1 month, that all three passed away because all three things that Hashem gave because of them all disappeared. So now the Gemara brings another story that also involves this pasuk. Rav Huna bar Manoach, Rav Shmuel bar Idi, Rav Chiya Mevastanya, these three chachamim, habu shchichi kamei derav. They were regularly always in front of Rava. They were Talmidim of his, and they would learn Torah. Kinoch nafshe de Rava. When Rava passed away, also the kamei de Rapapa. Then they came to learn by Rapapa. Rapapa was one of Rava's Talmidim. Rav Shura Goyen actually tells us in his Igeres that after Rava passed away, his yeshiva split up into a few major yeshivas, and there were different chachamim of that period that were leading them. One of them was the yeshiva in Sura that was being led by Rapapa. So now they came to him. Now, whenever a Papa would be telling them a statement in Torah, well, I have him establish, and they didn't find it to be logical. They didn't consider it logical and acceptable. Have him a Ramzi Adadi. They would make motions to each other, like as if look at him. He's nothing like the caliber of our previous Rebbe Rav. So Papa felt very bad about it. They're putting him down. They're not respecting him and his Torah. After Yehu Bechelme, he was read in a dream that night, this pasuk, where Hashem says, I cut off the three shepherds, meaning that it was being hinted to him that Minashamayim, that they're planning to punish these three Chachamim because of the way they're putting down Rapapa. And keep in mind, they're not even saying anything. They're only Miramzi Adodi. You can imagine maybe they're like making a motion with their mouth or something with their finger or their eyes or whatever. And nevertheless, still, they were being judged that harshly for it in Shemayim. L'mochar, so the next day, Kiavu Miftiri Minei, when these three Chachamim came to take leave of Rapapa, Omelahu, he tells them, Lezlu Rabbanan L'shlama, let the Rabbanan, meaning you, go in peace. So what does that mean? So Marsha explains that since he was being told Menashemayim va'achid as shloish asaroyim, now he doesn't want them to actually pass away. So he figured, let's be makayim that in a lesser way. Instead of them having to be removed from the world, let them just be removed from here. Let them leave town, and in that way, then the what it's saying in the pasuk, the gzeira Menashemayim, will be makuyim in a lesser way, and they won't have to actually pass away. In fact, he's using the expression lishlama, where that's significant. Now, in the printed Gemara, it actually says bishlama, and that's a little difficult. The Gemara tells us at the end of Brachas that to a living person, you shouldn't say leich bishalim. To a living person, you say leich lishalim. To a nifter, you say leich bishalim. So if he's telling them lezer rabban and bishlama, wouldn't that be what you tell to a person who's actually about to pass away? So in fact, Eitz Yosef says maybe indeed that's what it is. In fact, we would say the opposite. Marsha is saying that he's trying to prosper, that they shouldn't have that serious gzeira happen to them, and instead there should be something lesser. Eitz Yosef says maybe not. Maybe because he was makbid on them so much, and now he's being told min hashamayim that that's how it is, then he chooses to, in fact, say to them the loshen that you would say, like to hint to them that they don't have long to live. And in fact, there are other Amafoshim who understand Marsha to be saying that way as well. When he says Kadeshi Skai Machalon Bazeh, Lachidam Onish Misa, so there are Amafoshim, I don't remember, who wants to learn Marsha in a similar vein as the Eitz Yosef, that he's hinting to them that they're soon going to die.
You have a story with David HaMelech also.
So that's the Gemara mentions at the end of Brachas, that, for example, David, when Avshalom came to take leave from him to say, I want to go to Hebron to bring animals from there for Korbanos, and really he's going to start his rebellion over there, then David inadvertently tells him, Leich b'Shalom, and the result was that Avshalom ended up getting killed, as opposed to when Moshe is about to leave Midian, and then Yisrael tells him, Leich l'Shalom, then all of Nis'ala, then Moshe became, went to greater and greater heights from that. So yeah. Similarly, the Gemara says, Rav Shimi bar Ashi have a shchiach kamei de Rav Papa. Rav Shimi bar Ashi would regularly be in front of Rav Papa to learn Torah from him, have a makshalei tova. And again, he also was always asking him a lot of questions in Torah. Yom echad chazir nenofel alape. One day he saw that Rav Papa was doing nefilas apayim, and nefilas apayim, now we have a standard thing that we say in on nusach, we say rachum b'chanan al dovid el hashem nafshi yasa. In nusach Ashkenaz they say hashem abap v'teshi cheni. But you don't really have that there's something extra that you add. But we find in various places in Shas where people would add their own independent bakoshes, their own personal bakoshes at that time. So Shame de Omar, so Rav Shimi Ba'ashi overheard Rav Papa saying, Rachmona litzlan mikisufa de Shimi. May Hashem protect me from the embarrassment of Shimi. Because in other words, he's saying, Shimi, Rav Shimi Ba'ashi is asking so many questions that it's embarrassing me in public. Tabla leish sikusa, said Rav Shimi Ba'ashi, accepted on himself, from now on, I'm going to be quiet, but tulay akshilei, and he stopped asking. And if you're going to ask him, I'll ask him in private or whatever, but rather than this way he won't be embarrassing Rav Papa publicly. He could have been able to put a daven to answer, but I don't know. It's a good question why he didn't do that. Maybe that's part of it. He's saying Hashem should protect me from that embarrassment, meaning that I should have the ability to answer, but Shimi took it to mean that maybe he's going a little too far with it. With the other three chachamim, by the way, we were saying that originally they were robbers talmidim, and then they didn't appreciate a papa as much. There's a vort on that. There's a vort that relates to that. I don't remember who said this. We know that Avram and Sarah, we have as a nefesh, Asher also b'choron. We have all the gerim that they created. What happened to them? We never hear of them in the time of Yitzchak and Yaakov. Now the Rambam seems to say it's Freshbor is the question in the first place, and he says that no, after going through Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, there was already an Ummah ba'olam, there's a whole nation in the world that knows Hashem, and then the Pashtus then doing the Golus in Mitzrayim, and then they all fell away. But anyway, there's a vort on it that says what happened was, since we know Avraham is Midas HaChesed and Yitzchak is Midas HaGvura, so when Yitzchak took over, then a bunch of them said, you know what, we can't hack this. This isn't what we signed up for, and they left, and eventually they went back to their old ways and they're lost to history. So he says, so whoever, I don't remember which Rebbe it was that said this, said, you see from this that when it comes time to take a new Rebbe, when your old Rebbe is gone and there's a new Rebbe in town, don't think, well, he's nothing like my old one, because then you may lose what you had from the original one also, as we have with these three Chachamim, with Rava and Rav Papa. Okay. Continues the Gemara. It doesn't say. So according to Marsha, the very fact that he said Marsha has the gear set, he told them Lech L'Shalim, which means he's trying to prevent that Zera from happening to them by saying that they should just leave town and go L'Shalim. According to Eitz Yosef, and again, according to another possible way of learning Marsha, in fact, yes, they would have passed away shortly after that. So we don't know. Okay. Now, we learned yesterday that Rabbi Yochanan had said, Motur b'shvil yochid panosa b'shvil rabbi. That rain can come just because of one individual person. As we said yesterday, Rashi gave two examples, one where a person didn't plant in time and now he needs rain for his crops, and the other one where, for example, he lives among the Goyim and they don't specifically deserve rain, but he does, then Hashem will make it rain for him exclusively. On the other hand, Rabbi Yochanan said, "Parnosa b'shvil Rabim," and that led us to the whole thing about Moshe Rabbeinu and the Mon, about Moshe Aaron and Miriam and the Mon. So, but after Rish Lakish sava mutter b'shvil yachid, Rish Lakish also holds, like Rabbi Yochanan, that rain can come because of one yachid, because one person who needs it. The Amar Rish Lakish, minayin l'mutter b'shvil yachid, how do we know that rain can come just because of one yachid? Now there is a girsa in some printed gemaras, including in the current printed gemaras that we have, that says that he says minayin l'parnosa b'shvil yachid. In which case, then there's the question, and he's not saying the same thing as Rabbi Yochanan. And besides that, the pasuk that he's going to quote is talking about rain, not about parnosa. So the Rif over here finds a way to infer it that because the pasuk doesn't just mention rain, it also mentions chazizim, which we're going to talk about in a moment, which means thunders or means heavy clouds or whatever. So therefore that can go with panasa. However, Marshall says the better girsa is like we have it here in Ein Yaakov with minayin lamotter. So therefore he really is saying the same thing as Rabbi Yochanan motter b'shvu yochid, and the pasuk that he's going to bring does mention motter. So the pasuk says, "Shalu Hashem motor be'es malkush." Ask the rain of Hashem at the time of the malkush. Now we've learned before that the malkush is the late rain that comes usually Nisan time. So here, what we're saying is not first ask for it at the time of malkush, but you can continue asking for it until the time of malkush, because it's all during that is all the time when rain can be coming, and therefore, by all means, continue asking for Hashem for rain during all that time, because the pasuk continues, Hashem oisa chazizim, because Hashem makes chazizim. Now, Mephoshim on the pasuk talk about that chazizim may mean thunder or lightning bolts or things like that. Here, the Gemara is going to soon give a different explanation of chazizim as a type of clouds. And the pasuk continues, "Matar geshem yitin lahem." Hashem gives them the rain, the showers of rain, l'ish esef basodeh, to every person, to every grass in the field. So what does that mean? Yochel lakol. So you would think that means that Hashem is not going to give rain unless everybody needs it. Tamad loymar leish. Therefore, the pasuk says to a person, to one individual person. So therefore, the shlokish is darshining this pasuk the way that similar to Rabbi Yochanan's drasha to say that motor can be b'shvil yochel. The Tanya, and we learn in a Braisa, Ila-ish, if you're talking about for only one person, Yochol Lachol Sadoisa, you would think that fine, Hashem is only going to make it rain on his behalf, only if all his fields need rain. So note, Talmud Lomar, Sodeh, therefore the Pasuk says, L'ish Esev Basodeh, not Sodois, but Sodeh in the single. E Sodeh Yochol Lachol Sadoisa, so maybe that means only if the entire field needs rain. Talmud Lomar, Esev, note, therefore the Pasuk says, one grass, one herb, meaning in other words, even if you only need one particular plant and it needs extra rain, and that person is Zoicha, then Hashem will send the rain dafka to that one plant. Ki Hodr of Daniel Barav Ktina, as we have the example with Daniel Barav Ktina, where that happened. Havalei Hai Ginta, he had a garden. Kol Yoma have Ozel the Sayula. Every day he would go and look and then check out the garden and see what needs to be done with it. And by the way, the Gemara tells us in Fulin that that's a good thing to do. A person, Shmuel, says over there that a person should be checking his nechosim, his real estate, every day and seeing how it's faring. It means also beruchnius that a person needs to do a cheshbon and nefesh every day, but it means I'd push it on a gashmiistic level. And the Gemara brings a story there in Fulin about one of the chachamim, one of the amiroim who did that every day, and nothing ever turned up anything wrong. And he, after a while, he started wondering, so what is Shmuel saying? That it's such a good thing, and then one day he finds there's a leak in the dike over there that prevents the dam that keeps the water from flooding the field, and because he was there, he was able to stop it temporarily and to call for other people to help. And then he realized, you know what, that bears out what Shmuel's saying. All this time, every day I was checking and I thought it was a waste of time. Now this one time makes it worthwhile for all the others. Anyway, so here Daniel Bakhtina was checking his garden every day. Omar, he would say, Hom Meshra Boy Maya, this particular plot in it needs water of a homishra like Boyamaya, and that particular other plot does not. But also mitra of a komashki kol hechdim boy lemaya, and the rain would come specifically and water just the places that Rabbi Daniel Barav Ktina said that he needed. So the point is, so we see, in other words, that's what it means, l'ish esev basada, even if it's only one herb for this particular person in one field of his, then Hashem will send rain, Hashem will send chazizim in his schus, and rain will come for that. And the point is, Marsha says the reason behind it is when Rav Daniel is saying Hai Meshra Loi Boi Maya, he doesn't just mean this one doesn't need water. In other words, it could go without rain for another day or two. He means that right now, if this part were to be watered, it would damage it, would flood it. Therefore, Hashem would dafka not send rain to that part, only to the parts where he said that he needs it. So my Hashem oisa chazizim, the middle of the pasuk when it says Hashem makes chazizim, what are chazizim? Amar Rabbi Yosi Baruch Hanina, melamed shekol tzadik v'tzadik, HaKadosh Baruch Hu oisa lechaziz b'fnei atzmoi, for every tzadik Hashem makes his own cloud that is going to provide rain where he needs it. So my chazizim, what type of clouds or chazizim, because after all, the usual word for clouds is anovim or is ovim or anonim or whatever. What's chazizim? So Amar Rabbi Yehuda Porthos. So it means Porthos. So what are Porthos? The Gemara is going to explain it. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, in fact, Simon Lamotter Porthos, a sign that rain is coming is when you see Porthos. So my Porthos, Amar Papa, Eva Klishta, Klisha, Tuti, Eva Smichta. When you see a thin cloud underneath, meaning closer to the ground than a thick cloud. So when you see thicker clouds higher up in the sky, and then below them, closer to us, are thinner clouds, and they're called porthos because they move much more quickly. The lighter clouds, the little wispy clouds, move much faster. You can often see them moving in the sky a lot faster than the big, heavy storm clouds. So when you see that, then Rabbi Yochanan is telling you that that means that those are chazizim, and that's a sign that rain is coming. And Anaf Yosef mentions over here in this case that chazizim may be related to the word machzeh, something that you see, meaning, in other words, it may specifically, you have Mephoshim on the pasuk, explains that it can refer to thunder or lightning, so it kind of goes together with this. We can be talking about when you have weather conditions like that, you're more likely to have a thunder and lightning storm, and that itself promotes the rain coming. When there's a bolt of lightning and a clap of thunder, that ionizes the air, and that makes it, now you have little particles in the air that raindrops can coalesce around and fall. That is why you often see during a rainstorm, during a thunderstorm, you often see right after the lightning and thunder, you have very heavy rainfall all of a sudden. That's why, because now you have more things for the raindrops to form around. So that's chazizim. The Gemara continues, Amar Rav Yehuda, Nehila Mikame Mitra, when you have a light rain that comes before the heavy rain, Osa Mitri, then it means that rain is coming, means there's going to be a lot of rain. It's not going to end so soon. Nehila, it actually explains, means like a fine dust. Like, for example, you have an expression in the Gemara elsewhere, Kitma Nehila, which means very fine, very finely ground ashes. So when you have Nehila, when you have like a drizzle like that, Mikame Mitra, and then you start having a regular rainstorm after that, means it's going to last a good long while. Bosa Mitra, if it's the other way around, if you have a heavy rainstorm and eventually it starts only drizzling, Posak Mitra, then it means the rain is going to be ending soon. Mikame Mitra Osim Mitra, the Simonach, the way to remember it, is Mehulta. When you're sifting flour, Rashi describes, first you have the fine flour comes out, and then you have the Subin Gasin, then you have the coarser bran comes out. So the same way you have the fine rain, the misty rain, and then you have the heavier rain, so that shows it's going to be coming a while. Tosfos actually, which is printed in the Gemara, learns a little differently. Tosfos points out in those days, their process of milling grain was different than it was in the times of Tosfos, where they would remove the whole surbin, the whole bran of the grain intact, and then they'd sift it. So therefore, so you'd have that comes out first, and then the flour. So kind of the opposite of what Rashi is saying. Anyway, the point is that you have first the finer stuff and then the coarser stuff. Debosa Mitra, Posik Mitra, if you see first there's a heavier rain, and then you have a lighter rain, then you said, Posik Mitra, it means the rain is going to end soon. The Simonach, the way to remember it is Chavya de Iz. Think of like when goats defecate. First they have a larger amount, then they have smaller little pieces, and then that's it, then it's over. So the same way, when you have a rain like that, then it means that it's going to be over soon. No, because sometimes you have, for example, you might well have where it's getting less, and then it's later on going to become heavier again. But we're not so much talking that we're talking about how soon it's going to stop. Sometimes you may have the other way around. After all, sometimes you think of it, you have like a real cloud burst, and it lasts only a couple of minutes. But here, Rabbi Yehuda is telling us that if you have a light rain first and then a heavy rain, then it means it's going to last quite some time. So the Gemara says, Ula Ikla Bavel, Ula one time visited Bavel, Ula lived in Eretz Yisrael, and he used to travel back and forth to Bavel. We find all over Shas, where he would bring the Chachamim of Bavel, what they learned in Eretz Yisrael, and vice versa. Because a purpose, and he saw these purpose. He saw these thin clouds, these thin wispy clouds under the heavy ones, which we just said, Rabbi Yochanan said, is a simon that rain is coming. Omalahui tells the people, Panu Monai, clear out my things, bring my things inside the hash to Osi Mitra, because the rain is going to be coming soon and I don't want them to get ruined. L'soif lo Osi Mitra, in the end, the rain didn't come. Omar, so Ula says, Ki heichid mishakri bavloi, just as the people of Bavel lie, So the rain also lies. You have perchos, which seems to be that rain is coming and it doesn't end up coming. Now, why would that be? What's a Marsha explain? Marsha and Ion Yaakov explain. Well, Marsha says that we learned before, we had that that rain stops. Rabbi Yochanan said one of the reasons why rain is held back is poskei tzedakah b'rabim, when people pledge tzedakah in public and they don't give it. We said Rashi over there means not only in public, even in private. Marsha said especially in public, because then the aniyim are more expecting to get it, whatever. So then they don't follow through. And then the result is, we learn from that rain doesn't come either. So here, Ula is saying the same thing in Babel. You have lots of people who are big talkers, and they claim they're going to give lots of tzedakah, and they don't follow through. And the result is, therefore, we don't have rain either.
All talk, no action.
Yeah, basically, all talk, no action. Yeah. Ion Yaakov says slightly differently. Another one of the words we learned, another ones that we learned there previously, was that rain falls because of Bali Amona, because people who keep their word. Well, here, the other way around, the Bavli are not keeping their word, says Ola. Therefore, also, when you think that rain is coming, it's not actually going to come. Speaking of Ula visiting Bavel and being critical of the way they do things in Bavel, the Gemara tells another story, which we also learned in Psachim. Ula Ikla Bavel, Ula one time visited Bavel, Chozem Maloit Sanad Tamri Bezuza. He saw that a basketball. Now, by the way, it is possible, when we say over here Bavel in these Gemaras, it may not mean the whole country of Bavel. There's a country of Bavel and there's a city of Bavel, just like, you know, you have New York City and New York State. So it is very possible that in some of these cases here, Ula is not necessarily putting down all the Jews of Bavel. They were an enormous and very, very important Jewish community of those times. He's not going to write them all off as liars. So, man, the same thing with the next thing. So maybe he's talking particularly the area of the city of Bavel, the actual city of the original city of Bavel itself. It was Nebuchadnezzar's capital that was destroyed and was never rebuilt. There were several Nevi'im, Yeshaya and Yirmiyah, talked about how it's going to be destroyed and never rebuilt. Ad Yemazeh, it's a bunch of ruins, but there was a city nearby that took over the name Bavel and continued to have a Jewish community. Anyway, so maybe the Gemara is referring to that. Anyway, so Ula Ikla Bavel, Chozem Maloit Sanad Tamri Bezuza, he saw that a basketful of dates was selling for a zuz. The Gemara actually mentions in a couple of other, in Psachim, in fact, in connection with this Gemara, that dates grow plentifully in Bavel. And in fact, the Gemara says there that was one of the reasons when it came, Churban Bayis Rishon, and Hashem had to decide which nation is going to be the one who destroys the Beis Hamikdash and takes them into Golos, and where are they going to go? One reason why Bavel is because so many dates grow there, and they're very cheap, as we see over here, and they're very nutritious, as the Gemara says, so therefore people can live cheaply and spend most of their time learning Torah. They don't have to work as hard for a living. Anyway, so Omar, so he says, Maloit Sanad Durvsha Bezuza. Look at that. You have an entire basketful of honey, because after all, you make honey from dates, like Zovas Cholov Advash. The zuzah can be bought for only a zuz, or babloi loy aski baraisa, and yet the people of Bavel are not occupying themselves with Torah. Here, if they're able to live so cheaply, why are they not spending more time on learning Torah? So as much as they're learning, he figured they could be learning more. So there are other explanations, and Marsha mentions in Psachim, where this Gemara also is, that it's also possible to read Ula's statement as a question, that food is so cheap, or Bavloi, like Aski Bar Isa, do you think that really the people of Bavel do not learn Torah? Sure they do. Well, that night, the dates gave him a stomachache, because one thing is, the Gemara mentions in Ksubas a number of the properties of dates. They are, it's true, they're cheap, they're nutritious, etc., but they also make your stomach really loose. So that night, it was causing him trouble. Omar, he says, Maloit Sana, the Sakini Bezuza. Look at that. You can buy a basketful of knives, goes over here for a zuz. Look at that. The people of Bavel yet learn Torah, and they're not bothered by the fact that the food here is not really so good for them. So again, you could also learn the other way around, where he's saying, where this one could be the question, Rabloi Aski Bar Isa, how is it possible that even with that, where their food is not really so good for them after all, that yet they fatifzik in learning Torah? I'm impressed with them, in other words.
Well, he was comparing the dates to knives on the stomach through the stomach.
Yeah, basically saying it's like, your problem. Yeah, because it was giving them stomach problems, right? Right. So there's different ways of learning where one or the other of his statements can be, both of them can be an actual statement. The first one, he's criticizing them for not learning Torah enough. The second one, after all, he's saying, you know what, considering the conditions they live in, they're learning as much as they could. Or you could say that one of them is a rhetorical question and the other one is a statement. Getting back to the matter of rain, the Gemara says, Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, the entire world is watered and gets rain from the waters of the ocean. Shenema, as the pasuk says, "Ve'ed yalam in ha'aretz," a mist, a cloud rose up from the earth. "Ve'hishka skopnei ha'adama," and watered the entire surface of the earth. So now, in context, that pasuk is talking about the one thing, that the one time when Hashem created the world. The Medrash says on it, it's like when a person is making clay, he needs to mix clay with water in order to form something. So the same way, Hashem, so to speak, had to wet the earth in order to create Adam, and therefore the Eid Yalam in Aretz. Nevertheless, Rabbi Eliezer is saying that that's how it continues in the future. So it's because it says the Eid Yalam in Aretz, it will go up, then it means it's an ongoing thing. So Rabbi Yeshua asks him, aren't the waters of the ocean salty? So therefore, now Rashi says, grain or any other kind of produce would not be able to grow on salty water. Now, a number of the Mephoshim ask, why does the Rif and Iyun Yaakov and then all discuss, why is Rashi focusing on the point that plants wouldn't grow because of it? Why doesn't he say? Very simple. We don't feel that the rain is salty. When we taste rain, it's fresh water. So they talk basically that even Rabbi Yeshua that Rabbi Yeshua wouldn't be bothered so much by the fact that the rain is fresh water or is mostly fresh water, because even Rabbi Yeshua would say, fine, I don't agree that it comes from Meimi Ukiyonis, but it could still have some percentage of it could be a few percent of it is from Meimi Ukiyonis, and the rest of it, as Rabbi Yeshua is going to go on to say, is from Mayim Helyon. So if there's a couple of percent of it that are salty that comes from the ocean, you wouldn't necessarily notice it when you taste it. On the other hand, plants are generally very sensitive to even low concentrations of salt. So if there was any concentration of salt in the rain, it wouldn't grow well. And yet we see that the grain grows just fine. So that means there's no salt in it. So what happened to all the salt? So Rabbi Eliezer tells him they get sweetened in the clouds when the water evaporates from the oceans and the lakes and the whatnot. Then only the water evaporates, the minerals and whatnot that are in it are left behind, and therefore you have clean water that gets into the clouds and then eventually falls to earth. So that's Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yeshua im kol ha'olam kulam mimayim helyonim. Rabbi Yeshua says that the whole world gets its rain from the upper water. We have on the second day Ma'aseh Bereishis Vayavdil Kimis Arakia Vayavdil Ben Amayim Hashem Me'al Arakia Ben Amayim Hashem Me'tachas Arakia. So therefore there's Ma'aseh Bereishis up there. We learned a few days ago that the Gemara had said Kimin Kuba Yesh Berakia. There's like a tent in Shemayim where there's a storehouse of water, and therefore Rabbi Yeshua says that's where all the rain comes from. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, "Lemtara shemayim tishtemayim." When you come into Eretz Yisrael and it's a place that's watered with rain, then it gets rain from the waters of the from the rains of the heaven. Now, in other words, the point is, why would it need to say shemayim? Where else does rain come from? It means that the pasuk wants to stress for you that rain comes exclusively from shemayim and not, like Rabbi Eliezer is saying, from evaporation from the oceans. So Elamani Makaim the Aid Yalam in Aretz. So what about your pasuk, Rabbi Eliezer, about the clouds rising up from the earth? Malamacha anonymous gabrin va'ulam adlarakia. That means that the clouds go up very powerfully all the way up to the sky, or poiskin pm canoid, and they open up their mouths like a flask or makablin may mutter, and the rainwater is poured into them. In other words, Rabbi Yeshua is saying, the point is, Mephoshim explained, Rabbi Yeshua is saying, look, if it was just a matter of that Hashem is sending Metar HaShemayim from the storehouse in Shemayim, why does there need to be clouds b'chlal? Why can't it just come directly from the sky, from the atmosphere? So therefore, Rabbi Yeshua is saying the clouds are basically like containers that take the water into them, and then it gets broken up into drops, and then sent down to us. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Yazoiku Motor La'edo. This is another one of those psukim in Eov where we've had before a whole section in Eov that talks about the miracles of rain. So Yazoiku, Rashi explains, means Maloshin Yitzoiku. They will pour Motor rain La'edo into the clouds. So we see that. From Shemayim, there's water poured into the clouds, and therefore, and then it comes to us. So Rabbi Yeshua says that's the purpose of the clouds. They're the mediator between the Matar HaShemayim and us. And he continues, V'heminu kovis kekvara, the clouds have holes in them, like a sieve, so that the water gets divided up into drops. Uvois machashres mayim agabe karka, and now the rains come and sprinkle the rain on the ground. Shenema chashras mayim oveshchokin. As the pasuk says, the chashras. Now, the word chashras can have a couple of different meanings. One of them is to sprinkle. So the sprinkling of water oveshchokin from the thick clouds of the skies. So we see that the clouds have the job of breaking up the rain into individual droplets. And the Gemara mentions in Baba Basra, also in connection with Eo, where Hashem tells Eo that you should know every raindrop has to have its own path, because otherwise, if more than one raindrop came through the same path from the same part of the cloud, then they would coalesce together into large drops and they would flood and ruin, they would flood the earth and wash away the topsoil or whatever. So Hashem makes an individual pathway for everyone, and therefore that's what we mean the clouds have the job of doing that.
It's the same thing in Ein Yaakov about no two hairs can come out of
Place. The Gemara mentions in that connection with Eov also that no two hairs come out of the same thing. Hashem tells that to Eov as well. Yeah. This is, by the way, when we talk about the beginning of the Masechta, that rain is called Gvuris Geshomim. This is one idea of why it's called Gvuris, because you have the Chesed, which water itself is symbolic of Chesed, and the fact that Hashem gives rain as a Chesed, but if it came exclusively as Chesed, it would come as a downpour. Instead, it comes mediated through Gvura, so that it's in individual raindrops that the plants and the topsoil and everything can handle. Anyway, he continues, Ve'ein ben tipa l'tipa elokim lo nima. Between one raindrop and the next, there's only a hair's breadth, and Hashem makes sure that each one is separate. L'landecha, all of this teaches you, says Rabbi Shua, shegodo yoyim agshamim kiyem shenivru bo shamayim va'aretz. A day of rain is as great as, and we learned this at the beginning of the Masechta, is as great as the day that Hashem created shamayim va'aretz. Shenema, the pasuk says, also in Eov, Oisek Durlas Adein Cheker, Hashem does great things that we can't even delve into. We can't even understand all the things that Hashem does, meaning, as we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, you have to try to be choicher. You have to das elakeavicha, but you have to realize there's a point beyond which you can't be choicher because your human intelligence will only go so far. Ochtiv, and the pasuk says, Noisen Motor, Apnei Oretz, that Hashem gives rain on the earth. As we talked about at the beginning of the Masechta, Marsha pointed out, Agos Abach points out, Yad Yosef brings it over here on the side, that the first pasuk is really supposed to be not Oisek Dolus Ad Ein Cheker, but rather Oisek Dolus Ve'ein Cheker. The difference being that one is back to back with the pasuk Hanois and Motor Apnei Oretz. So therefore, we can say that they go together. Whereas the other one is one's from Kapitel Tes, the other's from Kapitel Hey. What does one have anything to do with the other? So if we say rather the word is supposed to be Oisek Dolus Ve'ein Cheker, then that's part of Eliphaz's speech in Perek Hey. And the next pasuk he continues is Hanois and Motor Apnei Oretz. So therefore, there's a connection between them. Uchtiv lahalon, you have another pasuk. As far as cheker, what does it mean? Ein cheker. Halo yodaita im lo shamaita. Don't you know? Haven't you heard? Elekei olam follow the goyim. Hashem is the God of the world and the eternal God. Ein cheker l'svonasai. There's no delving into. There's no fully understanding Hashem's understanding. So, and that's referring to Hashem creating the world. You have another pasuk that speaks of Hashem putting together the mountains with his power. That's in parenthesis because it doesn't necessarily, Rashi takes it out, doesn't really belong here in the Gemara. We have enough psukim already that putting them all together shows that Ein Cheker refers to Briyas Shemayim Va'aretz, and therefore when it says Ein Cheker or Ve'ein Cheker in connection with rain, then it means that rain is as great as Shemayim Va'aretz, and it also means the fact that Hashem is able to, that Hashem makes it, as we said, that every raindrop is separate, that no two of them coalesce together, is also one of the nefloi sabboda and is as great as making shamayim va'aretz and setting up all the things. Now, omamar, now we said earlier, omalot of the yezim is smakim heim ba'ovin. So when Rabbi Yeshua asked Rabbi Yezir, how could you say that the whole world gets its rain from the ocean? What happened to all the salt in it? And Rabbi Yezir says, Mismakin ba'ovin, they get sweetened in the clouds because only the fresh water evaporates. So, Keman Ozla Hodu Amr Rabbi Yitzchak by Yosef, Amr Rabbi Yochanan, which of these opinions will it be this that Rabbi Yitzchak by Yosef says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan? We said that we quoted the pasuk Chashras Mayim. Now we have, that's in Shmuel Beis Kapitel Chof Beis, that's David's Shira, by David David Lashem is Divrei Ashira Azos, which we read as the Haftorah on Shvi Shal Pesach and also Parshas Hazinu in Yews when Hazinu has its own Haftorah. Then you have the same song is also in Tillim, in Kapitel Yud Ches, with a number of variations. You learn one, you read one, and then you read the other, and you can see there's a couple of dozen variations between them. One of them is that in this pasuk Chash Ras Mayim, the parallel pasuk in Tillim, said Chesh Chas Mayim. with a chof. So what does it mean? So Rabbi Yochanan says, "Ksiv chesh chas or ksiv chesh ras." So you have chesh ras. So you have two psukim. So how? So why do we have two? Why do we have one pasuk that refers to the darkness of the clouds and the other one that refers to the sprinkling of the clouds? Shoko chof shadi arish. What you do is you're meant to combine together the chof together with the resh of the other word. You take the word chesh ras, which we said means how the rain, how the clouds sprinkle water onto the earth, and. And you add to it the chof of the word cheshchas from Tilim, koribei chachsharas. The result is you get the word chachsharas, where we find all over in the Gemara that, and in Midrashim, that a ches and a hey are often interchanged in drashas. When you have a word in Tanakh that says with a ches, then the Gemara will often douch in it as though it said with a hey and vice versa. They look very similar in the Sfardish pronunciation of them, which Pashkos is the pronunciation of the time of the Gemara. They're fairly similar also, so therefore, so one can exchange for the other. That way.
Interchangeable.
Don't remember offhand, but could be. So koribei chachsharas. So now you take this word chachsharas and understand it as the equivalent of hachsharas, Meloshin making kosher. So in other words, that bears out Rabbi Eliezer's point that the clouds have the job of sweetening the water and making it that now it's good, clean, that now it's good, clean water that can fall as rainfall and water the earth and water the plants. So command for Rabbi Eliezer, so that would follow Rabbi Eliezer, because again, according to Rabbi Yeshua, you don't need that. The water that gets poured into the clouds to begin with is clean water. So Tosfos, by the way, has the expression that chachsharas means miskashrim meloshin kosher. They become kosher, and then again, they become suitable in the clouds. Marsha seems to have had a gusa in Tosfos that the word that Tosfos was using was not miskashrim with a kuf, but miskashrim with a kuf, which means to tie together. So then Marsha wonders, in that case, then what's the drosh over here? What does that have anything to do with chachsharas? So rather, it would mean that he says in that case, then we're focusing mainly on the word chesh, on the word chashras, where one meaning of the word chashras can mean to tie together. The word chishur, we find in a pasuk, means something that's tied together, something that's bound together. So it would mean how the clouds are bound together and then miskashu, and as Tosfa says it, like sort of, that's a different shodesh. We're saying the shodesh over here, choshar, ches shin resh. One of the meanings of that shodesh is a pasuk, for example, in Malachim, that mentions chishurehem, but chishukehem, which are parts of a wheel that help hold it together. Chishurehem are the tires, basically. Chishukehem are the spokes. So we see that a chishur is something that holds things together. So Marashah says that maybe Tosfos may understand the Gemara in that. What about the idach? Now how is Rabbi Yeshua going to learn that pasuk? Again, the fact that you have chashras versus cheshras. He says he would use it to teach us what Rav Dimi says. The Amar, he says, Amri b'mar rova. They say in the west, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, chashoth anoni. When the clouds are dark, sagian mohi. That means there's a lot of water in them. Nohur anoni. When the clouds are light and see through, ziran mohi. That means they contain very little water, and you're going to get very little, if any, rain out of them. So therefore, in other words, so now, according to Rabbi Yeshua, then according to Rabbi Dimi's Drosha, we're not taking the words cheshras and cheshchas and combining them together to get the word chachsharas. Rather, what we're saying is the cheshras means, so the cheshchas means when the clouds are dark. Cheshchas mayim, when there's darkness of the rain, of the water in the clouds, of a shokim, then you see very thick clouds. As far as the chashras, that would be meloshin hashara, that would be meloshin soaking. In other words, the clouds are soaked through with water that comes from the mayim el yonim, and then that falls to earth. And again, according to Marashah, you could say instead that chashras means, like we said before, meloshin kavara, it can mean like a sieve that sifts the rain, because we said that's the function of the clouds, to sift out and divide the rain into droplets. Okay, So the Gemara will continue next time, Be'ez Hashem, with various other attempted proofs that the Gemara tries to bring, not attempted proofs, but different braises or different statements of Amoraim that go according to one or the other of these opinions of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, whether the world gets its rain from Isirusa de la Santa, basically, or from Isirusa de la'ayim. Yom Yom Mashiach Gola. So we were just talking about Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Eliezer, in fact, the Gemara mentions in a few places is Shamusi, meaning that he's the representative of Beis Shammai in his generation. It's one meaning of Shamusi. So here the Rebbe talks about Beis Shammai. We know that the Yemos HaMashiach, the Halacha, will be like Beis Shammai. Now, what does that mean? Because at that time, why was the Halacha like Beis Hillel in the first place? Because most of the Chachamim of that generation agreed with Beis Hillel. And they found Beis Hillel's opinions more logical and more in keeping with the way they thought. So now, L'asid Lava, the Shikul Adas is going to be different. The way of looking at things is going to be naturally made different. And therefore, because you're going to be on a higher level in Yemos HaMashiach, and the result is that they're going to find Beis Shammai's arguments and opinions more compelling. How is this going to happen? How is this going to come about? Because you're going to have the higher level in Torah is going to be revealed. Why? What was with Beis Shammai in the first place? How is it that they were able in the first place to hold their own against Beis Hillel when Beis Hillel was the majority? The Gemara tells us because Beis Shammai were extra sharp and extra. They had greater analytical abilities in Torah. So La'asid Lave, that level, that higher level of Torah, is going to be revealed by all Jews. That's what we mean, Torah Chadashim, Iti Teitzei. We're going to understand the reasons and the secrets of the Torah, which are higher than Birurim. So therefore, once you have that, then we won't even have the possibility of doing, then there won't even exist the possibility of doing anything wrong anymore, anything that shouldn't be happening. And therefore, we can say that that's the level at which the Halacha can be like this. Gvura versus Chesed factors into that as well, yeah. In fact, there's a place in Siddur and Dach, for example, that talks about that L'asid Lava, the world is mainly going to be run with Midas HaGvura. Nowadays, we can't. We would never be able to survive with only Midas HaGvura, but L'asid Lava, it'll be different. Continuing with Halachas of Shabbos. So let's see. So we talked extensively about Mechitzas on Shabbos. So, okay. You're not allowed to wind up or set clock on Shabbos or Yom Tov to prevent it from stopping. So even if you have an analog watch, for example, it's still ticking, but you can't wind it on Shabbos to make sure that it continues running, or on Yom Tov to make sure that it continues running until the end of Shabbos. On Yom Tov Sheni, maybe if you need it for Sod HaYom, then you can be makel and wind it so that it'll continue running for that day, but not for the next day. If it's for a sick person, then it would be Mutar B'chol Inyan in any case if you can't easily find a goy to do it.
An analog watch
is one of those kinds that has hands as opposed to a digit. The kind that have hands as opposed to a digit. An old-fashioned, and we're talking also the kind that don't have batteries. When they have batteries, it's a whole other matter, because then you have that's using electricity on Shabbos, and that's a whole other matter. We're talking about the old-style watches where you wound them up, and there's energy stored in the spring, and eventually it runs down, and therefore you have to wind it up once in a while. So you can't do that on Shabbos. I guess maybe a modern-day equivalent might maybe be like winding up like a jack-in-the-box toy or something, although I'm not sure about that. I don't know. That's meant to just be wound up, and it swings open, so maybe that's different. It's not expected to stay closed for any length of time. I don't know.